chugga 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 choo choo.
No, it's chugga 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 chugga
chugga. No, you just did an extra one. Roy, the way you were doing it, it sounded perfect after 12 to jump in.
No, it doesn't sound perfect.
Chugga 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 choo choo.
No. Got four chuggas.
No.
Chugga chugga
chugga chugga chugga choo.
Eight chuggas.
Chugga 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 choo choo.
So you do 16? That's way too much.
I think it is 16.
No, it's not.
No, it can't be.
You're not as patient as I am.
Roy just did it and it sounded ridiculous.
Chugga 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 choo choo.
It seems like too long, man.
You gotta do it fast for it to sound normal.
Chugga 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 choo choo.
It's three.
Why is there no love to the choo choos at the end? The choo choo, like they hold that thing and like choo choo.
You got elongate the choo choo.
Yeah, the choo choo's got to be longer.
It does. Yeah. The second one I think has to be longer than the first too.
Yeah, because you're holding that sucker down. You're letting people know that train's coming through.
Very good breakdown of chugga chugga choo choo.
Roy, do you do it well, Roy? Do you do it well?
I don't do it well at all. I don't do anything well.
Do you?
That's not true.
Okay. Do you try to do it and fail, or how does this work? Does Claire like that? I guess is what I'd ask you.
No. She's not really into Daddy over here trying to act out. You know, trying to be all loving and fatherly. You know, like she's busy watching television.
Wait, what? Your daughter's not into you loving her?
No, not really. Not really. She just runs away.
Right. Wait till they get older in high school.
Sad. Yeah, they'll be hiding.
Yeah.
Chris, how good are you at it? Do you do it? When feeding yourself?
Yes, of course. Well, Roy's trying to argue that it's 16, and I'm going to do it right now, and you're going to clearly hear 12. Chugga 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 choo choo. See, Roy, it just flowed.
Now there's
four each, three bursts of four. Do it with 16. Roy claims it's 16. Let's hear the way Roy does it. Go ahead.
Chugga 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 choo choo.
He's right.
Oh, because he's doing Roy's doing four times four though. Roy is doing four rounds of four.
No, I know he is. It doesn't sound as like fluid as the three. Like he's wrong. He's trying to argue that 16 is 12, and he's wrong.
No, the original writer of Chugga Chugga Choo Choo had it as 16. I hate to tell you, I know that for a fact. Yes.
Wow, he just looked it up.
I didn't look it up. I've looked it up before. I mean, I've never looked it up.
Okay, there it is. You never know which the lie is. It's just an avalanche. they conflict with each other. I thought the best segment today. I don't know what you guys thought was the best segment today, but I thought it was vending machines. I mean, after Big Suey, because Bomani, really, that's a 40-minute burst that you're just not going to hear anywhere in American media. It's not even just sports. He allows you to see things in a way that perhaps you hadn't considered them before. But did we have a better segment today than vending machines? Because I was eager to get to those polls, Stugatz. I want to get to these polls.
I thought the sneezing, the suicide segment was, the Harry Carey segment was the best segment today. I did, yeah. Because you said Harry Carey committed suicide. Mike Ryan and I both thought that Harry Carey had committed suicide, and little did we know, he did not. So, I mean, that's kind of the picture you painted. To me, that was my favorite segment.
All right, we should make that another poll, Billy, at Lebatard Show. What was the best segment today? Was it vending machines or was it Harry Carey?
Did anyone get made sad at the end of the Steve-O thing? Like, I feel like he's performing for us, talking about all the like insane things that he was probably in a really dark place for. Like, I know I'm being that guy and I'm sorry, but at the end of it, I was like, oh, this is crazy fun stories. And then I was like, man, this is sad.
Of course. I mean, drug addiction and depravity of that level is, but he's been sober for a long time. And one of the things that is a rationalization for having those stories told publicly again and again is the idea that you'll bring someone out there help with your sobriety. It's one of the reasons that sober people get sober are so publicly vulnerable. They speak about it in the idea that their words will reach somebody, because he's telling you right there, he's saying, look, I loved it and it's great, but also I had to quit because it was making me fundamentally crazy. I wanted to ask him more questions. Like, I wanted to continue. That guy can run through our entire season and I'd be good with that being our only celebrity prognosticator. At Lebatard Show was the poll. is always the place that you get the polls. What do you have there, Stugatz? Because I wanted to hear what some of the people had to say about that vending machine conversation.
Is the last item left in a barren vending machine being a honey bun said? 79% of the audience said yes. I mean, of course it is. Is the peanut butter cracker in the top three vending machine items? 55.5% of the audience said no. That's an outrage. Seriously.
I think if we'd put orange crackers there, people might have a better visual of what it is we were talking about. I think that's the failure of the poll system.
Okay. Are Pop-Tarts in the top of the rankings of vending machine items or the bottom of the rankings of vending machine items? Me and Tony think it's top. Dan thinks it's bottom. Bottom wins out. 59.3% of the audience said bottom. But I think Tony made a great point. If you're in the mood, if you haven't had breakfast yet and you stumble across a vending machine, the only thing in the vending machine that's worthy of breakfast is Pop-Tarts. That's it. What do you get? Lifesavers?
Pop-Tarts are overrated. There, I said
there,
it.
There, he said it. It has been said.
Like, they're just like, when have you ever had have you ever been satisfied with a breakfast after
absolutely.
A Pop-Tart? A Pop-Tart's like a last resort.
It's a piece of your breakfast. It's a piece of a balanced breakfast. It's not the entire breakfast. You get a nice bowl of Frosted Flakes. You get a nice Pop-Tart. Like, that's what combines it. Mm-hmm.
All right. There's so many different flavors, too.
Yeah. I've never I've never said to somebody, "Oh, I had the best breakfast this morning. I had a s'mores Pop Tart."
Yeah, you ever put it in the hey jackass? You ever put it in the toaster?
Boom, jackass.
Yep. How about that, jackass?
Wow. I think that Stugatz gets the final word on this. Okay, he really knocked you out of the way, jackass. Well, have you ever had a toaster? Huh? That's what the show's going to sound like as we age. Okay, I'm telling you, for however long we're doing this, it'll be a time where we're talking to people and they're not even going to know what a toaster is. And Stugatz is still going to be out here defending the toaster and calling someone a jackass.
Better than Colin.
The backward hat segment. How many times has he done it? Is he on the third? Is it the third, fourth time that he's done? It's amazing. It's like $6 million a year.
God bless him.
It's unbelievable.
It's a great take.
It is a great take.
Final poll at Levitard Show on Twitter. If that song was exactly the same and released by Calvin Harris instead of Vin Diesel, would it win a Grammy? 78% of the audience said yes.
Billy, one of the frustrating things about what's happened with the terrestrial radio show is there's not enough room to move around inside all of the sponsorships and updates and everything else. I feel like you could have gone 10 minutes on that Vin Diesel song. The smile that came across your face when we played the music, you and Chris, the both of you, you were swooning with delight. I wanted to hear everything you had to say about Vin Diesel singing.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I cannot talk 10 minutes about a Vin Diesel song that's like 2 minutes long. I think the ads may have helped us in that instance. Pretty much it. Yeah, it's Vin Diesel. He released a song. Where of all places? The Kelly Clarkson show. Because, of course, that's where Vin Diesel would release his new song. There's digital fans dancing along to it as we're watching computer screens, having people awkwardly clap off rhythm because everybody's on a computer and it's going to be impossible to sync that. God, what a nightmare, huh? Dancing on a digital screen. Like, you just go and you're like, I want to watch the Kelly Clarkson show from my house, which you could just do on your TV, I'm assuming, right? But no, I want to be part of the Kelly Clarkson show crowd. So you go and then they're like, all right, guys, big news today. We're getting the release of the Vin Diesel song and we're going to need you all to dance to it. And we're going to show you dancing from your living rooms to the new Vin Diesel song on the Kelly Clarkson show.
I think you do have 10 minutes in you. I think if I keep poking and prodding you, I will absolutely get 10 minutes out
of you. I
think
Billy has 10 minutes on anything.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Here's another thing. Anything else?
Honestly, though, doesn't that seem like a nightmare to you? Like, think of nightmares that you... Okay, Dan, you're not someone that strikes me as someone that wants to be in virtual crowds, right? But, like, given all of the virtual crowd situations that you could be in,
crowds,
the one where you have to just be dancing in the virtual crowd seems like the worst of all the options, right?
Yes.
Because most of them, you're just sitting there, and then you can, like, oh, big basketball play, ooh, wow, you, like, clap. Or
terrible
whatever.
Option.
But right. When they're like, let's dance, and we're going to show you on national TV dancing in your living room to Vin Diesel's new song, that seems like the worst of the virtual crowd situations, right?
It is bad. Chris, were you laughing? Are you red-faced right now with laughter because of how quickly you worked in such a tight window? Like, that was amazing, the way right
He's
between...
He's laughing at himself?
Are you laughing at yourself there, how quick you were getting a word in with amid Billy's yammering?
I love it because it's tough with Zoom, so when I get one in and I see you laugh, it just makes me really happy. Virtual crowd, browse.
I love the self-celebration, though, man. I have taught you well. I'm proud of you, man.
Was trying to listen to you, Billy, and also trying to follow why it is that Chris fell out of his Zoom camera red-faced, laughing at how quickly he got in and out of there. Did any of you guys think, incidentally, this sound, I've got to credit someone here. Is it All the Smoke, Mike? I got to credit All the Smoke for playing this sound. So they do a good job on their podcast. You've got Steven Jackson and Barnes.
Matt Barnes.
Yeah, yeah, I was forgetting his first name. And they're talking to Allen Iverson, and Allen Iverson is being a little shadowy with how it is that he's explaining that he doesn't want to name the person that he hates.
The podcast is what Matt Barnes does when he's not looking for Derek Fisher.
That's right. Yes. All the Smoke. Thank you. Yep. And so here is that sound.
Harrison Barnes would have been a weird fit.
Yeah, that wouldn't have fit exactly the same. All the Smoke. I can't. Well, Harrison Barnes. Yeah, not really.
He seems like a nice man.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't fit. Yeah. Well, it's not that Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, they're just more rugged.
They have a reputation that Harrison Barnes doesn't.
They are barbed wire. Harrison Barnes is not. But here is Allen Iverson. And it was one of the things that was cool about listening to this is you could tell the reverence and the awe, really, for that Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes, specifically because of what you're talking about, Mike, that Allen Iverson represented that to them before they became guys in the league who were giving off just all of what that is. The All the Smoke podcast. Allen Iverson gets credit as an inefficient basketball player for basically being the realist before it was easy to be the realist. And so
he was the face of that basketball generation. While Kobe might be remembered as the best player, especially now that it's a posthumous thing, you grew up wanting the arm sleeve. You wanted to look like Allen Iverson. He transcended the sport and he set like a fashion for the time.
It was interesting to watch Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes sort of genuflect before a guy that is, before them, better at the stuff that they're representing. They were like bench players on this podcast, deferring to the superstar because of the cultural representation of what all this is. That Allen Iverson was living a crazy life. Stu Gatz, I did a magazine story on him where I went to Philadelphia, and it was a positive magazine story. And it's my only real interactions with Allen Iverson over an extended period. And the stories were amazing at how he was living. You know, a guy would always get to have to be sent back to the city they were in because Allen Iverson had left blank amount of cash in the hotel room, tens of thousands of dollars in the hotel room. And on multiple times, he was living such a crazed hip hop life, right? Just living the basketball superstar nightclub life, showing up at practices with liquor on his breath, making Larry Brown crazy, having that practice rant. Because everyone knew how hard Allen Iverson played.
Let's be honest, though. It seems like the tiniest of things can drive Larry Brown crazy.
You're absolutely right. So now imagine that tiny thing being 6 foot tiny Allen Iverson, because he was making him totally crazy. But a totally beloved athlete. And he comes on here. And I really respect and admire the relationship Stephen A. Smith has with Allen Iverson, because Stephen A. Smith is friends with Allen Iverson, but Stephen A. Smith has also called out Allen Iverson in a way that was very public that helped save Allen Iverson from some of his demons, because Stephen A. Smith was reporting that Allen Iverson was drinking too much and partying too much post-career, and he was doing it because he was worried about Allen Iverson. And the fact that they've been able to repair their relationship when Allen Iverson was really mad at Stephen A. Smith for reporting that stuff, and all Stephen A. Smith said was, hey, I could have reported a lot worse about you, and you know it. I'm trying to help you here by reporting your embarrassment to the world, so perhaps you might get some help. Anyway, he's not talking about Stephen A. Smith here. I don't know who he's talking about, even though they're telling me it's Whitlock, but many of you thought he was talking about me because it involves my father. So here's the sound from All the Smoke.
I know you hate me, and trust me, I don't hate nobody. Yes, I do. I hate you. It's one guy mm-hmm. that you know I'm talking to. that they talking about right now.
I know, too.
It's one guy. No, it ain't who you think it is. Okay. I got love for Skip. So, you know, I know people think it's Skip. It's not you. But it's a guy that do exactly what you do. Mm. And just trust me, the way you hate me, I hate you too.
Well, it's mutual.
You know what I mean? The feeling is so mutual, and you don't help me, and I don't help you, and I'm fine. I'm fine out here, regardless of how much you talk about me. Mm. All right? All right. Just know who I'm talking about. Mm. And I'm not mentioning your name, because I won't even want the whole world to even know that and I give you that type of love.
But you know he know.
You and your daddy. You and your daddy.
Ooh. The both of you.
See, now that right there, see, that's wow. Switched for me. I was enjoying that clip, just listening to it the same way you guys were. Which is like, ooh, who's he going to go after? Is he going to name him? He's going after somebody. He's going hard here. And then he threw my father's face into the mix, and I was confused because I heard that. And I also looked in a mirror for a moment and asked myself, wait a minute, have I done something wrong, or has my father done something wrong to Allen Iverson?
There's a good chance your dad may have, and you had no idea of it. Now I understand, having heard the sound, why you would think it's you, because we've never met Mr. Whitlock. I mean, so it's weird, you know.
I love how everybody just assumes that it's Skip. Like, he is just the go-to, I hate this person in the media. Like, oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. I hate him too. Like, nope, it's not Skip, actually.
But, Chris, it was Skip. It's no longer Skip. It's now Whitlock and his dad.
The thing is, I was going to the barber shop, and I went down and sat down in the chair, and all of a sudden I see that come across my timeline, you and your daddy, and I was like, oh my God, this is not going to be good. Tomorrow we are going to have a lot to talk about. So thankfully it wasn't.
Well, he said it as if it were some sort of hint as to who it was.
Right. Yeah. I love how it's just like,
well, why are we assuming it's Whitlock? Yeah, maybe it's Shannon Sharp. I mean, it could be anyone. I mean, how do we know? Who's got a famous dad besides
the Golics? We got the Golics, right?
The Golics.
Oh, is it Jack Collinsworth?
Ooh, yeah. Did Chris Collinsworth say something bad?
Wow. Jack Collinsworth. Some head of hair. You
good hair, and he's really good at that job.
Wow, he's great.
Maybe it's Ian Eagle.
So much like his dad.
Joe Buck.
Possibly. Ian Eagle's son
Joe
is
Buck, maybe.
Oh, Jack Buck must have said something about Iverson.
Kenny Albert. Harry Carey Jr.
Marv Albert's his brother.
Ah,